And we're back. Our number three, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Karen Bailey Chapman joining us now from SEMA, Specialty Equipment Manufacturer Association, Senior Vice President of Public and Government Affairs. Welcome, Karen. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us. All right. Talk to us about some things that are going through Congress as we speak, some potential mandates, ADOS, which I talk about a lot on my other programs, Advanced Driver Assistance Systems. And for those of you that are listening, it's just the things that keep a vehicle on the road and in some cases may make it safer depending upon that particular vehicle. But they're wanting to do model year 29 automatic emergency braking.
Yes, absolutely. And we've got legislation that we've had introduced that starts to address the needs of people that choose to modify their vehicle and use those parts and make sure that those parts actually communicate efficiently and effectively with those safety systems. And so we've got legislation pending that will direct the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to start developing some guidelines and standards around how consumers can continue to modify their vehicles, but also make sure that their safety systems still work.
Okay. And I know I've been in the automotive industry my entire life. I have watched many a government regulation come down that I truly believe, and I think there's some folks out there that would love to see, number one, no modifications done to vehicles once they're produced from the factory. I firmly believe that, Karen, and some of us have in this industry have fought those things over and over and over again. Is this one of those that's trying to do that?
Well, I think we're actually trying to solve for some of the regulations that the government has already put in place. For instance, starting model year 29, all new cars are going to be required to have advanced emergency braking, which is basically front collision avoidance. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, when you're driving down the road, you don't run into somebody who stops suddenly. Well, the thing is that what we're trying to solve for is saying that now the rules also have to address when people do modify the vehicles, that we know that those safety systems are still going to work. And that's really, so we're trying to be proactive here in terms of saying, okay, you keep putting these regulations out, but they're not, they're kind of trailing the technology or setting regulations before you have figured out how all of the technology actually interacts.
Well, and not to beat a dead horse, because I just talked about this in the last segment when it comes to, you know, just fuel and the different blends and so on and some of what the White House is looking to do along those lines to lower fuel prices overnight. Unfortunately, Karen, I hate to say this, we have a lot of people on the admin level in legislatures across the country, including the federal government, that quite frankly have no idea how cars work. I'm sorry to say, they just don't.
No, I think that's fair. And I think that's, you know, a big part of the work that we're doing is that educating lawmakers and regulators about how this actually works in the real world. And, you know, to even suggest that, oh, well, consumers just shouldn't modify. Well, that's just not going to work.
That's
right. Just saying, like, you know, you shouldn't have a piece of cake every night. People, if they want a piece of cake, they're going to have a piece of cake. So let's get in front of this and solve this versus trying to assume that consumers will just sort of do whatever the government tells them to do.
Yeah, no, and I think, and this is what I love about the auto industry and why I've been a part of it my entire, I mean, I grew up in it. It's what I've known my whole life, Karen, and that is, number one, we're in America. Number two, we like to individualize things. One of those ways is with our vehicles. You're not going to stop that, not anytime soon. It hasn't happened in my lifetime. I don't see it happening in my lifetime, to be honest with you. Even the younger generations, which thankfully, they are now starting to come back on the bandwagon on this. And the customization of vehicles has been something that has happened in America forever. I get it. There's other parts of the world where they do this as well. But here in America, we are on the forefront of that. We like to individualize things, and we need to be able to let people still do that.
Absolutely. And the thing that what we're trying to also get across is that these are like common, you know, what we're dealing with here are even some just very common accessories and modifications that the average consumer does, like a bike rack that's installed on the back of your vehicle.
Right.
So if your vehicle has a system that says, oh, if it's something's blocking the rear view camera, it won't move. And so we have to have the ability and the regulations that allow the vehicle to move when you put on a bike rack. Because ask a family of four that just finished loading up their bikes for the weekend trip, and now they can't even get out of the driveway.
Yeah, and to your point, it's everything from that to trailer towing to, of course, there's lifted vehicles, lowered vehicles, on down the line we go. All of those need to be able to be accommodated.
Exactly. I think our detractors like to always refer to the extremes of modification, and that's not what we're talking about, and that's not what we're trying to solve. We're talking about basic stuff that, you know, even a wrap that you put on a vehicle for your business can impact those sensors and cameras. And so how do we solve for that, and how do we ensure that the systems calibrate properly and are working properly when these modifications are made?
Makes total sense. Again, I've been a big fan of SEMA. Was a member years and years ago when I had my retail stores, and appreciate all you guys do. I still go to the SEMA show on the media side of the fence on a routine basis and always learn something when I'm there. How do folks follow what you guys have going on, and if they want to assist, can as well?
We'd love for people to visit us at SEMAHQ.org, SEMAHQ.org. You can keep up with not only this legislation, but a lot of different legislation that we're working on across the country that is in support of our automotive aftermarket industry. And you can keep up to date, send letters to your lawmakers, make phone calls, and just help us in the fight.
Yeah, and for all of you listening, please do that, because Karen, I know over the years you guys have fought everything from, you know, decibel, how much a vehicle actually puts out decibel wise and so on. And some things get so strict that you could never do any modification. In some cases, even a factory vehicle wouldn't meet those particular specifications. And you guys do a lot to help the motoring public out every year.
That's what we try to do, and we love what we do in representing this, not only our amazing industry of businesses, but also all the enthusiasts out in America that buy our company's products. So we're extremely grateful for that, and so proud to be the ones to help represent and tell the story.
All right, one last thing, and I don't want to put you on the spot because I don't have this number in front of me, but the automotive industry in general, including the aftermarket, how much of the economy is attributed to what we do?
So for the automotive aftermarket, I just have that number handy. We actually are $337 billion economic impact to the U.S. economy.
Wow.
And we employ 1.3 million Americans.
Wow. I knew it was a big number. And then you tack on that all of what we do on the new car side and the OEM side and so on. And point being is the automotive industry in general is a huge facet of the American economy, and we cannot forget that.
Exactly. We are American manufacturing and American small business.
Yep. Karen, thank you. I appreciate it greatly. Thanks for joining us. Anything else that comes up you want to let us know about, please do.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
You're very welcome. Have a great evening. And again, SEMA, that is the Specialty Equipment Manufacturer Association. Aftermarket is what we should say. They work closely with the OEM as well. That's the original equipment manufacturer. And again, SEMA, you hear me talk about the SEMA show in November, first week of every November. You hear me talk about that on a routine basis because I try to go most every year. I miss the big election year with Trump, of course, but I went this last year, and it's always a lot of fun. I learn a lot. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.